the 12 steps. You know me, right? You know I hate systems, especially the system, a bogus set of instructions for us, the people, to follow while the truly free wallow in privilege. So imagine my initial resistance to this system, the 12 steps. Don't tell me what to do. I'm an individual. I'm a maverick. I'm a hustler. I'm a poet wandering through the wind-lashed wilderness, screaming my song into the po-faced and judgmental world. Especially as in its original form, the 12 steps says the word God as freely and as frequently as an ecclesiastical Tourette sufferer. I sat in chilly rooms in the British countryside, all chastened and desperate, looking at these bleak edicts on the wall, thinking, maybe for you, but not for me. Curiously, later examination of these principles revealed that self-centered, egotistical thinking is the defining attribute of the addictive condition. Self-centeredness is a tricky thing. It encompasses more than just vanity. It's not just Fonzie looking at himself in self-satisfied wonder and flexing his little tush. No. Here is a more opaque example of self-centeredness. If your partner is a bit wayward, you know, selfish or difficult, and you cast yourself as the downtrodden carer pacing behind them going, I don't know what they'd do without me, that is another form of self-centeredness. You are making yourself and your feelings about the situation the ontological, steady, centre of the world. Is there a different way that you could be you? Especially as we all know, don't we, that you being you and me being me is the absolute alpha and omega of the world today. Flick on a TV, glance at your feed, it's all about me, 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 the perfect product, holiday, hair tonic, telephone provider for my unique self. Well, that's just fine and dandy, but I don't really know what me is or what me wants, and now I'm beginning to question if thinking about me all day is doing me any good. The first time I saw the steps, I thought, bit religious, bit pious, bit ambitious. There was the Christian-y feel. Look at the third step, turn our will and our lives over the care of God. Steady on, old boy, that just sounds like a cosy version of ISIS. But now I know, you could be a devout Muslim with a sugar problem, an atheist Jew who watches too much porn, a Hindu who can't stay faithful, or a humanist who shops more than they can afford to, and this program will effortlessly form around your flaws and attributes, placing you on the path you were always intended to walk, making you, quite simply, the best version of yourself it's possible to be. In my case, as you will see, this includes a good many flaws, some odd thoughts, and occasional behavioural outbursts. If this is your first encounter with the steps, note your own feelings towards them. 1. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. We humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. We continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong promptly admitted it. 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Here's how I look at the steps now, and I invite you to look at them the same way. It certainly demystifies them. I've probably overcompensated with the F word, but my point is that this is a practical system that anyone can use. 1. Are you a bit fucked? 2. Could you not be fucked? 3. Are you, on your own, going to unfuck yourself? 4. Write down all the things that are fucking you up or have ever fucked you up and don't lie or leave anything out. 5. Honestly tell someone trustworthy how fucked you are. 6. Well, that's revealed a lot of fucked up patterns. Do you want to stop it? Seriously? 7. Are you willing to live in a new way that's not all about you and your previous fucked up stuff? You have to. 8. Prepare to apologise to everyone about everything affected by your being so fucked up. 9. Now apologise. Unless that would make things worse. 10. Watch out for fucked up thinking and behaviour and be honest when it happens. 11. Stay connected to your new perspective. 12. Look at life less selfishly. Be nice to everyone. Help people if you can. What about my precious individuality, though? I can't subject my unique mind to a system. The philosophical prison ain't been built that can hold me, baby. That may well be, and resisting authority is all fine and dandy, but the point of that, surely, is to resist being oppressed or exploited by that authority. There is no oppression or exploitation here. Furthermore, and dim the lights and cue the Twilight Zone music, who is the me that I am trying to protect? That's a question that we'll ponder over these chapters and possibly answer. Although, I'll be honest, the riddle of understanding the true nature of self has baffled the finest minds humanity has had to offer since time began. Still, I like a challenge. Now, in the way I had to substitute the word addiction for drugs, you might need to make a substitution of your own for food, tech, gambling, obsessive relationships, porn, in fact, whatever it is that you want to change. Think of yourself as a computer with a virus and this as a code that will cleanse you. If you follow this path, if you do the things suggested, it will induce a change in you. If then you have an obvious addiction issue, you are in luck. There exists already an incredibly effective method for tackling it and redirecting the destructive energy of your condition into a new way of being. You'll find much identification here, and this will be a useful companion to the other literature and support groups that are available. If you have a more wily malady, a sadness, a dissatisfaction, a longing that you are dealing with in ineffectual installments, I promise you that if we earnestly apply this program to your life, your perception will alter, and with it, your world. There are now hundreds of 12-step movements with new objects of unwitting fetishization, narcotics, gambling, food, gaming, sex, hoarding. There are in fact now sufficient organizations successfully deploying this method for us to assert that there is a common yearning that initiates, then fuels, the addictive cycle. When I first encountered the 12 steps, I had to apply them to drugs and alcohol. They worked. Then sex, food, and work. They are working. Now I apply them to every thought or feeling I have, knowing they are a means of negotiating my experience of the external world and my place within it. My professional life, my domestic life, my spiritual life, and my new life as a dad are all lived via a map that has been drawn up using these principles. No two people use the 12 steps in the same way. Written into them are multiple clauses that allow for limitlessly diverse individuality. Where I found this program most rewarding and yet most challenging is in the way that it has unraveled my unquestioned faith that I was the center of the universe and that the purpose of my life was to fulfill my drives, or if that wasn't possible, be miserable about it in colorful and creative ways. So whilst this program will work for you regardless of creed or lack of creed, it will also disabuse you of the notion, however conscious of it you are, that you and your drives are the defining motivations for your life. The reason I worked the 12 steps was because I was desperate. The reason I continue to is because they have awakened me to the impossibility of happiness based on my previous worldview, that I am the center of the world and that what I want is important. I can attest personally that the 12 steps work with severe addiction issues. If you have them, you should engage with the appropriate 12-step support group. My hope for this program is that wherever you are on the scale of addiction, chronically ill or privately concerned or simply seeking change, you will benefit from working these steps in the way I did, honestly, openly, and willingly. If you're like me, you like to half-ass things. Me, I'll buy a book on healthy eating or meditation, and that'll be enough. I'll use the social tool of consumerism to satiate a need and leave the matter there. A book on healthy eating, untouched on the shelf, will not improve my body mass index, whatever the hell that is. A book on meditation flung to one side will not elevate my consciousness and attune me to the great oneness behind my thoughts and feelings. If you're not going to do the things suggested, you may as well spend the money on a cake or blow it down the track. It also, and I don't really want to tell you this, isn't easy. This isn't how to change your life in 10 minutes while sat on your ass writing messages to the universe and popping them under your pillow. It's bloody difficult. It's the hardest thing I've done. Actually, no. The hardest thing I've done is toil under the misapprehension that I could wring pleasure out of the material world, be it through fame, money, drugs or sex, always arriving back at the same glum stoop of weary dissatisfaction. That's why the first step is saying, I'm fucked. It's not improving. I want to change. Tacitly, you have done that just by getting this far.